Now we're holding on Samach Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah about various cases where a man says to a woman, "You're Mekudesh to me," when something happens where right now she's not available for Kiddushin, or Kiddushin aren't shayach to her, but eventually there will be. For example, a goy gives a pruta to a Jewish woman and says, "This will be Kiddushin when I become a ger." Or to a goy, or he gives to a goyta when you become a giyoris or an eved or a shivcha, etc. So we said ena makudeshes, and we discussed the point therefore because it's ena biyode, it's not fully in his hands to be able to accomplish this. With a ger or giyoris, for example, they need a beis din of three. With an eved or a shivcha, their master has to free them, etc. And the last thing we mentioned in that connection, in connection with a din involving truma, is we said Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had said that actually, for example, you could designate certain plants as truma even while they're growing and even while they're at a very relatively early stage of their growth, because he holds, in other words, he doesn't hold like the Tana, he doesn't hold like the Tana of our Mishnah, that the thing has to be fully ready. He holds that it can be even at an earlier stage where it's not ready and it's not shayach to Trumas and Maestris yet, even though that growth is not something that's biyada either, because after all, he can't make it grow any faster. So now the Gemara says, Omer Abaye, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, v'Rebbe, v'Rebbe Meir, kulus svirahu adam makna dava shaloi bala olam. All of these Tanoim, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rebbe, and Rebbe Meir, all hold that a person can be makna something that doesn't completely exist in the world yet. We don't mean that these things don't exist at all. In Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's example, we talked about that the grain, for example, has not yet grown to one third of its growth. So we're not talking about before you planted the grain at all, or where it's a very at too early a stage. We discussed yesterday in the Gemara two possibilities about what stage it has to have reached, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but it has to have reached some stage of its growth. But still, it's a lot earlier stage than the Chachamim would say that you could use to, that you could designate it Truma as. So he and Rebbe and Rebbe Meir each hold, each in their own way, that it doesn't matter, and a person can be makna something that doesn't fully exist in the world. Now, in general, we have a rule, we've mentioned this before, the rule that goes back to the times of the Gaonim, at least, that says whenever the Gemara says such a thing, whenever it says this Tana and this Tana and this Tana all hold the same thing, it means the Halacha is not like that group of Tanoim. First of all, because it means that only those Tanoim hold that way, implying that all the other Chachamim disagree with them. And second of all, because even among them themselves, it doesn't necessarily mean that they would agree with each other's application of the Din. They would hold the same underlying principle, but they would apply it in each way, in each case, in different ways. One might say, for example, like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it has to at least exist to some extent. It just doesn't exist fully. Another one might say it doesn't have to exist at all, and so forth. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Hodam Moran, where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we said how we see that, because we see that he holds that even when the grain is far less than one third of its growth, it's at one of the earlier stages that we discussed yesterday, agam, when it's first sprouting from the ground and tall enough to be bent over, or a later stage called shachas, where it's available to be used as animal feed. Then ready, even then, even though it's far before the time when it's ready to be when it's ready to be picked and designated as truma, nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you can do that. Rebbe, the Tanya, where do we see Rebbe holds of this concept? We learn in a Braisa, we learned about this in Gittin. The Pasuk says, Lois saskir eved al adonav. Don't hand over a slave to his master. So that means, in other words, this is telling Beis Din, you have an eved, you have a certain situation with an eved, don't hand him over to his master, that he should be able to use him, that he should be able to continue using him as a slave. So Rebbe Omer b'lekeach eved amanas l'shachar akasim medaber. Rebbe says the pasuk is talking about a case where a person buys an eved to begin with the intent to free him. So in other words, as soon as he wrote him out, as we're going to say now, he wrote him out a shtar that says that he's going to free him as soon as he buys him, as we're going to say. So Heichi Domi, what exactly is the scenario? Meaning Rashi says we can't be talking about where the master already freed him and now wants to take him back as a slave. It's true, of course, the master is not allowed to do that. You find, in fact, in the Psukim in Yirmiyah that there were Jews who did that, who did exactly that to the Avodim Knanim and to the Avodim Ivriim and Omos Hevrius. And the Pasuk criticizes that for them very strongly. And the Navi tells them because of that, there's going to be a Churban and a Golos. All of that is true. I mean, here we're talking about an Eved Knani. All of that is true, but then the Pasuk wouldn't call him an Eved in the first place. So the Pasuk is saying, Loisaski Eved El Adonav implies he has the status of an Eved. Nevertheless, you're not allowed to work him, and Beis Din is responsible for enforcing that. So what is the scenario? Omer of Nachum Yitzchok, then to Kosov Lei, for example, the master wrote out a shtar to the Eved before he bought him. He writes, Liksha Ekochacha, when I buy you, Hare Atzmacha, Kani Lacham Me'achshav, then you have acquired yourself as of now. So in other words, so the deal is, he's saying, right now you belong to Reuven. I, Shimon, am writing out a shtar that as soon as I buy you from Reuven, then you're going to go free. So now, if Shimon wants to renege on that, and he wants to say, look, I paid good money for this Eved, why should I have to free him? Then Rebbe says, that's the case. The Pasuk is talking about where Beis Din is responsible for making sure that Shimon doesn't do that, and then he actually carries through with what he said and frees him. We had different other opinions about what case this Pasuk is talking about. Again, given that Rebbe is saying this, the other Chachamim may not agree to that, because they would say it's a double shalom b'la'olam. At the time he wrote out that shtar, this guy wasn't his Eved yet. So they explain the Pasuk is talking about other scenarios. But we see that Rebbe holds this. Tosfos has a long discussion over here. Does he really need to say me'achshav? Why should he need to say me'achshav? Hare atzmecha kanulach, and finished. So Tosfos discusses it at some length over here. In other cases, there are other similar cases. For example, in connection with kedushin, you don't have to say me'achshav. For example. You have a case where one person sells the other one a cow, and the kinyan should take place only in 30 days. There he has to say me'achshav. Tosfos goes into some discussion. When do you need to say me'achshav and when not? One thing being, by kedushin, you don't necessarily need to. We've learned before that if a man is mekadesh a woman and says the kedushin should take effect after 30 days, so we said that we said even though the money was used up, nevertheless the kedushin is still valid. On the other hand, with these other kinds of things, you need, on the other hand, with an Eved and with a Sada, the normal way of accomplishing the Kinyan with them, so the normal way of accomplishing Kedushin is with money. And the money, it doesn't matter even if it's gone by that point. As we said, it's already considered, it's hers, and what she consumed was her own money. But here when we're talking about an Eved or a Sada, then the difference is, usually Tosfos says the Kinyan of those is accomplished with a shtar, and therefore the shtar would still have to exist at the end of the 30 days, or at the end of whenever the time is, in order for it to be effective. So therefore he needs to say me'achshav in order to make it still be effective, regardless whether the shtar still exists or not.
Isn't that against Lo'olam Bam Tavoidu?
He is. There is a mitzvah of Lo'olam Bam Tavoidu. We can say he's being over on an Eser. Fine. But the fact is, he did write out on a shtar that he's going to do it, and therefore Beis Din has to hold him to that. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss other reasons why it would have to say Me'achshav over here. Because otherwise it wouldn't work, because otherwise we wouldn't see that the Braisa is specifically according to the idea that Odom Makna Dover Shalai Bola Olam. You could say that there's other reasons why it would work. Anyway, as I said, Tosfos goes into some detail about this whole matter of when you have to say Me'achshav and when not, and the various permutations of that. Anyway, the point is that we see that Rebbe holds, even though the guy is not his Eved yet, he's able to write him out the shtar, and Beis Din will enforce it. So we see that Rebbe holds that a thing doesn't have to be ba'olam completely in order for it to be valid. Next, Reb Meir, D'Tanya, where do we see Reb Meir holds of this concept? We learn in a Braisa. similar to our Mishnah. Ha'oimer le'isha, goy says to a man, harayat mekudeshes li'lachashes gayer, you're mekudesh to me after I become a ger, or Jew says to a goy to la'achashetis gayri, after you become a geyeris, or la'achashetis shtachri, la'achashetis shtachri, or an eved says, an eved says to a Jewish woman, or a Jewish man says to a shifcha, after I become free, or after you become free. He says, after your husband dies, or after your sister to whom I'm currently married dies, or after your yavam gives you chalitza, again, following the opinion, as we learned yesterday, that you can't that you can't be makadish a yavama while she's a shemeres yavam. We learned about in yavamas, there's machlokas about whether kedushin or toifas at that time. Anyway, so our Mishnah had said, and the Braisa says, einam kudeshes. However, now our Mishnah just stopped there and just said, einam kudeshes, and that's that.
Well, like
now,
we also said, the person becomes a different mtsiyus mechal.
No, that's by a shifcha, by an eved and a shifcha, right? That's because einam biyade, right? Right. Okay. But now, though, the Braisa continues with more details on this. Rameyer oimer mekudeshes. Rameyer disagrees and says she will be mekudesh. So we see Rameyer holds that you can do something with davar shalai bal olam, even though the geirus is not biyadai, or the freeing of the shifcha is maybe biyadai again, because we talked about the scenario yesterday where a man gives kedushin to his own shifcha and he has biyadai to free her, but it's considered a whole new metzius and so forth. Reb Meir doesn't care about all that and says that mekudeshes. Reb Yochanan Asandlo Omer Eino Mekudeshes. Reb Yochanan Asandlo says, like the Tanakama, that Eino Mekudeshes. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Oimer Mekudeshes. Now Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says she disagrees with the Tanakama and with Rabbi Yechanan Asanlo and agrees with Rabbi Meir and says Mekudeshes. She is Mekudesh in all of these cases except some of them. Uma Tam Omru Eina Mekudeshes. Why is it in some of these cases, the one where he says, but when your husband dies, or when my wife, your sister dies, then Rabbi says she won't be Mekudesh. Mishum Eva, because that'll lead to hatred. Because what's going to happen? You know, her husband is going to find out, for example, that she's already accepting kedushin because she figures he's soon going to be gone, and that's they're not going to get along very well together. And similarly, him with his wife, her sister. So therefore, in those cases, midrabanan, we take away the kedushin and say that they shouldn't be chal. In other words, not so much that she did it while he's alive, but more to the point, in other words, it looks like she's really looking forward to, I can't wait till he's dead, and then these kedushin will take effect, and that will lead to Eva. So the point is, we see that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi basically holds like Rabbi Meir, that Mekudeshes, but he's saying, because of Eva, we have to remove the kedushin in some cases. Well, the Gemara asks for Nechshav Nami Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Well, then, in Abaya's list of Tanoim who hold that Odom Makna Dava Shaloi Balaolam, we said Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov based on the case of Truma. We said Rebbe and we said Rabbi Meir. Why aren't we also listing Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi? And the answer is because they're the same one. Hainu Rebbe, Hainu Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. They're two names for the same Tana. So we already mentioned him. So yeah, we see that here in this case of the Kiddushin, he's being consistent with his opinion before about the Eved, about the case where the guy buys the Eved, Amanas the Shachar. Okay, so therefore, so we don't have a fourth Tano who says that. But the Gemara asks for Nechshav Nami Rav Akiva. Still, there is a fourth Tano who should have been listed, Rav Akiva, the Tanya. Now, so you can have a woman says to her husband, we learned about this in Masechet Ksuvos and in Nedarim, Koinam shani oisel ficha. I'm making a koinam of a neder that what I produce should be also to your mouth. So in other words, we learned in Ksuvos, a woman is expected to produce, besides she has to do various household tasks, there's also she has to contribute to the family income by spinning wool or whatever is the local minute to do, and she has to produce X amount per week, and that goes towards the family income. So now she's making a koinam that should be also to her husband. So ein sarich lahafir koinam, which was learned in Nedarim, means, in other words, that she's saying it should be like a korban. And then just like a korban is also to you, so should this. So ein sarich lahafir. So the Tanakhama says the husband doesn't even have to be made for such a neder, because she's meshubah to him. She's required as part of the terms of the marriage to produce this material, to produce this work, and therefore she doesn't have the ability to answer it to him. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva Omer Yofer, Rabbi Akiva says the husband does have to be made for it. Shematadif all of Yosef and Aroi Loi, because she might produce extra. Like this, we learned in Ksubas that she's only expected to produce five Yehuda-sized sloyim, which is the equivalent of 10 Golil-sized sloyim of wool or whatever it is per week. So now, what if she makes more? That she's not meshubad to him to make more than that. So therefore,
even that part. Who knows which part is coming from?
No. So the point is, in other words, that you could say, for example, fine, every week she'll give him five sloyim of wool, and then anything more than that will treat separately. But Rabbi Akiva says that's the point. In other words, she may produce extra. Yeah, and it's going to be. And Tosfa says this would be considered dvarim shebeinu levena. It would be the equivalent of what we learned in Nedarim, that the husband can be made for Nedarim that affect their marital relationship, because it's going to be very hard to draw the line exactly, to say that he's going to take only exactly what she's chayev to him and no more than that. So therefore, it's Dvarim Shebeinu Levena. The point is that Rabbi Akiva is saying, on the face of it, that she's able to be makdish something that doesn't exist yet. Or not makdish, but to make a koinam, something which is a form of hekdish in effect, something that doesn't exist yet. She's saying koinam shani oisalaficha, the material that I'm going to make for you, it doesn't exist yet, and apparently Rav Akiva holds that she's able to make a koinam on it. The answer is no. Har itzman Allah, because you know there was said on it in the relevant Gemara in Ksubas, Omer of Huna Breder Rishua. She's the expression she uses is not that my ma'ase yadai should be also to you, because it's true, that's davar shalai b'la'olam. She's saying my hands should be kodesh to the one who made them. Who made her hands? Hashem. So she's making her hands hektish, and therefore the result is the products of her hands are going to be hektish. And the yadayim isnu ba'olam, the hands exist. So therefore, in other words, Tosfos says, so that would be the equivalent of, for example, everybody agrees that you can be makdish a tree, not that the tree itself becomes hektish, but that the fruit of it, the fruit that it will produce in the future, becomes hektish. That works. So the same way she can say, my hands are hektish to the extent that anything they put, that from now on, the work that they produce is going to be hektish. Or is going to be also with a koinam. And therefore, so now the Tanakama is saying as a blanket statement that he doesn't need to be made for it. And Rabbi Akiva is saying, yeah, but there's the problem of Hadofa. And we learned in Ksubas why the Chachamim are not concerned about that, but the extra amount she might make. But the point is, in other words, so therefore, when Rabbi Akiva is saying that the neder can be chal, and therefore that he needs to be made for it, it's not a matter of dravah shaloi v'loilam, because we're talking about, so she said, she said in terms of the hands being hektish.
Either way, would that work? If
well, that's the thing. According to the Tanakhama, it wouldn't work anyway, because she's meshubad to him. But nevertheless, she still has a shibud to her husband, and therefore, we learned over there, part of it has to do with the question, can hektish override the shibud anyway? There's one consideration of it, and there were other things. In fact, Tosfa says that, in fact, the Gemara in Ksubas also mentions the point that a koinam is kedushas aguf. So therefore, we have a concept that the Gemara mentions in various places that among that hektish is mafkia midei shibud. When you have something that has a shibud on it, such as a field or an eved or something, and you makdish it, then yeah, that undoes the shibud. So therefore, here also, if she says my hands are hektish, then that would be strong enough to undo the shibud, and that would be another reason Rabbi Akiva says he needs to be mefer. But the point is, in other words, here we're bringing it in the Gemara to show we thought that we have an example over here of Dovah Shalom B'la'olam, and we're saying it's not so. Okay.
It's important, but like you say, we only have three. You have to have four. But
no, it's not that you have, because Abaya had listed all the Tanoim who say, oh, the Makan Dovah Shalom B'la'olam. So we wanted to see, why didn't Abaya include Rebbe Akiva? Okay.
So the reason why they didn't include it
because he doesn't hold the Dovah Shalai B'la'olam. He holds that you can't be Machna Dovah Shalai B'la'olam like all the other Chachamim. In this particular case of Koinam Shani Oysalaficha, he has a special reason why to say that it's better than Liza. Okay. Mishnah says, Ha'oimel Isha, Harayat Makudeshesli, Amnas Sha'adaber Alayach Lashilton. You Makudesh to me on condition that I talk to the government about you, meaning, for example, that she owes taxes, for example, and he says, I have connections with the government, I'll go and talk to them and get them to lower your taxes or to forgive them altogether. We're talking about, as the Gemara is going to explain, he actually gives her a pruta. No, it's not that he's going to do with the schar of the fact that he's talking with for her. We're going to see, because we're going to see in the Gemara, because that amounts to a milva. So we'll get to that. But anyway, so if he says that I'm going to be speaking to the government on your behalf, or the es imach kapoyo, or he says that I'm being makadish you now with a pruta on condition that I work for you as a worker, Rashi says, for one day. So then, dibur alel shulton v'asim of kapoyol. So if he accomplished that, mekudeshes v'im lab ainim mekudeshes. There is a machlokas we showed him, by the way, to what extent when we say dibur alel shulton, to what extent do we say does he have to have actually been successful in what he went out to do? What if he went and talked to the government and they said fine, the maximum we're willing to do is defer it for a couple of weeks, or the maximum we don't want to pay attention to you at all. She owes it and she's got to pay it. Would we still say Mekudeshes because he accomplished his side of it, or would we not because the fact is he didn't accomplish what she wanted out of it?
The outcome wasn't there, but he put in the work,
so therefore, right. So you have him a focus on that. But anyway, the point is that we're saying only if he did that, because so now we're going to see in the Gemara, again, are we talking about that he's saying that he wants to be Mekadesher with the value of what he's doing, or are we talking about that he's Mekadesher with a separate Pruta, and this is only a Tanai? Incidentally, there is a short piece from Rabbi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, where he analyzes this Mishnah, Alpi Kabbalah, as he usually does, and he explains that Isha over here represents Malchus, and Adabar Alayf LaShilton represents that he talks to Yisoid to give to Malchus as it's supposed to be, so that Malchus will be complete, and the Essay Makapoyal also refers to some higher Midas that will feed into Malchus, and Rashi's Yoim Echad, he explains why Davka, because you have different aspects of Gvuris that come into Malchus, that amount to one day, half a day here, another half a day there, that amounts to a day. So he has a short explanation of the deeper meaning behind this din over here. One thing is also he associates it with Yosef, who was a shulton, who was a ruler in Mitzrayim, and the Yoim Echad that Rashi mentions can refer to the one unique day of Rosh Hashanah, when we know Yosef got out of jail, and then the Essay Makapoyal then would refer to Yom Kippur. So Bekitzer, we're talking about on a higher level over here, what's going on over here, the interplay between Malchus and the other spheres. Anyway, so Amar Shlokish, V'hu Shenasim Lashav Pruta. This, the din of our Mishnah would apply only if he also gave her a pruta. So he said, you're Makodesh to me with this pruta, I'll manas that I'll do one of these things that said in the Mishnah. The point being, in other words, that according to Rish Lakish, the Mishnah can't be talking about where he's just saying, I'm going to be Makadish you for the value of that I'm talking to the government or working for you or whatever. Then, as the Gemara is going to say soon, that we would hold Yeshna the Schirus Mitchilav Ad Soif, what he's hiring himself out for her, we would say every time he accomplishes a pruta of it, she owes him another pruta. We discussed this point earlier in the Masechta, whether we say Yeshna the Schirus Mitchilav Ad Soif, is it that every time he accomplishes a pruta of the work, then she owes him another pruta, and therefore it amounts to a milva, and a malkadish milva in a mekudeshes. Or do we say ainav aschirus elav asoif? The entire lump sum becomes payable only when he finishes the job, and in that case, then it wouldn't be a milva. But so we're going to see. Rish Lakish wants to understand our Mishnah that we're talking about according to the opinion yeshna aschirus mitchilav ad soif, and therefore that would require him to have separately given her a pruta. Otherwise, you have the problem of a mekadish milva.
Unless the condition was that then.
So, if they specifically say that he's only going to be payable at the end, sure, of course. So the Gemara asks, v'schar loy, so you're telling me just to do it for the schar of what he wants to accomplish, then that wouldn't work? V'hatanya, we learn in a b'laisa, v'schar she'kavtiruch alachamer, if he says, I want to be mekadosh you with the value of that I gave you a ride on the donkey, or she'kavtiruch b'koron, or that I gave you a ride in a carriage, or in a boat, ain't a Mekudeshes. So the Braisa says she's not Mekudesh because he already gave her the ride, so therefore now it's a milva. But if he says the schar that I will give you a ride on the donkey, or shayshivich b'korin ebesfina, or that I will give you a ride in the carriage or in the boat, and he does that, Mekudeshes. So therefore you can be Mekadesh with the schar of what he's going to do.
That's what I mean.
Meaning, in other words, yeah. So we have to figure out. In other words, so he's saying now you would have to walk to this place. Instead, I have a donkey and I'm willing to give you a ride. Are you willing to be mekudesh to me for the schar that you would have otherwise had to pay me for this ride? And the Braisa is saying that she's mekudesh with that. Well, then why is Rish Lakish saying that he has to separately give her a pruta? So you're going to answer maybe that the case of the Braisa is also he gave her a pruta. No, the Braisa clearly says that he says, I want to be mekadesh you with the schar. So the value of that donkey ride would be 10 prutas, so I'm mekadesh you with that. And that works without another pruta. V'oid Tanya, further, when we learn in another Braisa, what if she initiates it? She says, Shevi mi betzavsa ve'ekodesh loch. She says, come sit in companionship with me. In other words, I'm sitting here alone. I want somebody to sit with me. And then I'll be willing to be mekodesh to you. Then at that point, for the schar of that, I'll be willing that you can say hareat mekodeshes and I'll accept. Or schoit lefonai, or laugh in front of me, or make jokes in front of me. Rekoid lefonai, dance in front of me. Asei kadimus hazeh, or build me a building like this one. In all those cases, shomin, we figure out the value of what he accomplished. Im yesh be shava pruta mekudeshes, if it amounts to a shava pruta, then she's mekudesh. Vim lavein mekudeshes, and if not, then not. Right? You're going to try to answer again that we're talking about over here. He gave her a shava pruta, and that's why it works. Again, here, at least in the previous one, maybe you could say b'schar means the schar plus the pruta. But here it's very clear. We say shomin oisei. We have to evaluate the value of the actual work he did for her, the actual work of how much a person would pay to have somebody sit with them in companionship or joke in front of them, etc. So we see clearly that a person can be mekadesh with just that. So therefore, tiyuv to the Rish Lakish. Wouldn't that be a contradiction on Rish Lakish and on his understanding of the Mishnah? The answer is amalach Rish Lakish, no. Rish Lakish can tell you, hi Tana Bara Sover, the Tana of the Braisa holds, Einel Schirus Elul Vasoich. He holds the schirus becomes payable only at the end as a lump sum.
In all these cases.
So therefore, so he tells her, I'm going to give you a ride on the donkey. Or she says, you're going to sit with me in companionship. She owes him for that, but that the amount she owes him becomes payable in a lump sum only at the end. We don't say, for example, the donkey ride, let's say it was a mile. We don't say for every 100 feet she owes him a pruta. We say that at the end she owes him whatever the amount was.
These days, you get a service you pay them.
Well, actually, no, not like these days. In fact, many times, for example, you think of like a taxi. Think of like an old style taxi with a meter on it. If you tell him I want you to take me to such and such a place, he's going to have the meter running. What happens if you decide halfway through the trip you want to get out someplace earlier? You're going to be paying for the actual amount. So right, but my point is, in other words, there it is actually, you could argue, it's yeshen al schiros mitchil avad soif. A taxi meter would be a good example of this, where every time he drives another fifth of a mile or whatever, then you owe him another pruta.
The cheshvin is building up.
The cheshvin is building up, right. As opposed to, so what you're saying is like, So you could have the alternative is yeah that let's
car
say when
you pay
a, let's say a car service you yeah. pay you pay in a lump sum and if you didn't take
matter if it's shorter or longer you go to
whatever
a little more time, less time.
So anyway, so the Tana of the Braisa holds Einol Schiros Elo L'Vasoif. The amount that she owes him would only come payable at the end of the time. Over the Tana Didan Sova Yeshel Aschirus Mitchilavad Zoyf. Whereas the Tana of our Mishnah holds that each time he accomplishes a pruta of work, right then she owes him a pruta of the payment. And even if the work never got completed, then she would still owe him the number of prutas until then. You know, maybe a car service is not such a good example, but consider, for example, if you contract with somebody to build you a house. So how does it work? Does it work only if they completed the house? Do you owe them anything? Or let's say they built half of it, and then for whatever reason, the job had to stop. Because the site failed inspection or whatever exactly the reason would be. Do you owe him the money at that point? Do you owe him the money at that point? Yeah, that would be an example of Yeshna Laskiris. He did X amount of work for you, and therefore now you owe him X amount of money. obviously, you know, it'll depend how you write the contract, but we're talking about by default over here, if you didn't write one way or the other.
So before that, we're going to start a new mission.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So
okay. You mix them then.
Okay. So our mission, so therefore the Braises don't contradict with Shlokish, because the Shlokish is saying the Braises hold a different view of how the Schirus works. Well, the question is, my duchke der Shlokish lo ukmi la masnisin b'yeshna la Schirus mitchila v'ad soifu b'diyarvla. Well, given that the Mishnah didn't say anything about a pruta, what forces the Shlokish to assume that our Mishnah is talking about he gave her a pruta and then he's makadish her with that, and say that the Mishnah has to hold Yeshna L'schirus Mitzchil V'Adzoiv? Why don't we just say more straightforwardly that the Mishnah is like the Braises, they all hold Ein L'schirus El L'Vasoiv, and he doesn't need to give her a pruta, because only when he finishes the job, then only when he actually goes and talks to the government, only then does she owe him anything, and so forth. The answer is Amar Rav Masnisin Kshisei. The reason is because the wording of the Mishnah bothered Rish Lakish. My Iri Tani Amanas. Why does the Mishnah use the expression that he says, you're Mekudesh to me, Almanas, on condition that I will talk to the government, etc.? Nisni b'schar. Instead, why didn't the Mishnah just say that he says, I'm Mekudesh you with the schar, that I'm going to talk to, that I'm going to talk to the government on your behalf, and you would owe me for that, and so forth. El shmamina, kol Almanas, hecha di yohiv lahu. So the Almanas has to imply that whenever it says Almanas, that's a t'nai. So it's not that he's Mekudesh with the schar, it's just a t'nai. And therefore, the Tanai requires that there was a Maisa, and the Maisa being the Shava Pruta. So if the Mishnah had said, I'm the Kaddishi with the Schar that I'm going to talk to the government on your behalf, then yes, we would say that that means that you can be Makadishu with that. Necessarily, then the Tana of our Mishnah would have to hold, like the Braises, that only when he actually finishes the job, only then is he owed anything. But since the Mishnah instead used the word almanas, that implies that we're dealing with a t'nai for a kiddushin that already took place. So there has to be a gave her a pruta and a saying almanas. Therefore, now why would it work only in that case? Would have to be because ein l'schirus, because yeshna l'schirus mitchil avad soif. Because if he had said bischar, then you'd have the problem. The Tana of our Mishnah holds that each time he does a pruta's worth of the work, she owes him a pruta, and therefore it would now become a milva, and a makadish from milva ain't a mekudeshes. Okay. The Mishnah says, Almanas sheyirtze abba. What if the man says, I'm makadish you on condition that my father is willing, that he agrees to it? Well, rotza ab mekudeshes v'im lav ain't a mekudeshes. So if the father agrees, then she's mekudish, and if not, then not.
How old is she?
It doesn't matter how old she is. We're talking about him. He's saying, I'm making this condition contingent on my father agreeing. Well, the chosin. He himself obviously is a gadol, because as a cotton, he can't be Makadish. But he's saying that I'm doing it on condition that my father agrees.
It could very well be.
Yeah. So Vimlab and Makadeshus, if not, then not. We're gonna see in the Gemara. We're gonna have the various permutations in the Gemara. You know, you can have that the father agrees, you can have the father disagrees, you can have the father doesn't say anything, you can also have, for example, let's say the father never heard about it and then dies or something. You can also have, for example, the father first said no and later yes, or the other way around. So there's a lot of different possibilities. Some of them we're going to discuss in the Gemara, some of them are discussed in Rishonim and in Rishonim and Poskim about what the halacha emerges from this. Anyway, Mesa'av, so if the father dies, then the Mishnah says, Harei Zem Mekudeshes, then she is Mekudesh on the face of it, because the father didn't disagree. But we're going to see in the Gemara, is that going to work with the case of Menas Sheyirtza'av? I mean, Sheyirtza'av means that he has to want to, and here he didn't say anything one way or the other. Maybe the T'nai hasn't been fulfilled. That we're going to discuss in the Gemara.
But since his father's not available, and he's a gadol, so he can do it anyway.
But not necessarily. The fact is, he said Menas. It doesn't matter the fact that he's a gadol or not. The fact is, you can argue the T'nai has not been fulfilled. So we're going to see in the Gemara that maybe this case of the Mishnah is talking about something else. Maybe where he said, on condition that my father doesn't protest, which is a different case.
Right.
Mesa ben, what happens if the son dies before the father had the chance to approve it or not? We teach the father to say that he doesn't want the kiddushin, otherwise she's going to have to go through chalitza or yibum, because he was a makadisher. So therefore we tell the father, say that you never wanted these kiddushin, so that way they're not chal, and that way she doesn't have to go, that way she doesn't become a shemeres yibum. So the Gemara says, "My amanas shigirtza abba." Now, what do we mean when we say on condition that my father agrees? Ilema ad de omer abba ein, doesn't mean that he's saying the condition is my father actually has to say in so many words, yes, I approve of this condition. Well, ema metziasa. Well, what about then? Look at the next case, the middle case of the Mishnah, mesa avareza mekodeshes, where we said that if the father dies, then she is mekodesh. What do you mean? V'halai omer ein. The fact is, he didn't say yes. So how could you say that? How could you say then the kedushin are valid? Wouldn't it have to be she yirtza abba means that he actually says the word yes. So maybe you have to say the Mishnah means that on condition my father is quiet. So now, in other words, as long as he doesn't say anything, then as long as he doesn't say anything when he first hears, negative. Then that anything negative against it, then it would be valid.
Whether
somebody
that quiet means yes.
Yeah. Now Rashi says all it has to be is that he's quiet when he first hears about it. And then loyrotza would be he actually says something to the contrary. Tosfos points out it can't mean she yishtik abba means that he never says anything because the Gemara is going to point out there's a third possibility shelo yimcha now. Obviously, if he says clearly she yirtze or shelo yimcha or she yishtik or whatever, then we have that. We're talking about if he just says stam amanas she yirtze abba. What does she yirtze abba imply? Does it imply that my father actually says yes? Does it imply that my father doesn't? Does it imply my father doesn't say anything, or does it imply that he doesn't protest? So Tosfos points out, in order for those two, in order for the second and third one to be different, we have to understand that Manas Sheyishtek doesn't mean he'll never protest later. It just means at the time he first hears about it, he won't protest. What he says afterwards won't matter, as opposed to Amanas Sheyimcha would have to mean that he'll never protest. So those are two different scenarios. Anyway, so fine. So far we're saying that the Mishnah can't be talking about where he says that my father will say yes, because that wouldn't explain the case where the father dies before he has a chance to say anything. So Ema Sefer. However, then look at the Sefer of the Mishnah. Mesa Ben, where the Mishnah continues, if the son dies before the father approved of the Kiddushin, we tell the father to say that he doesn't want the Kiddushin. Now, if you're telling me that all you needed is him to be quiet, why does he need to say anything at all? B'hashosik, at the time of the Kiddushin, he didn't say anything. Already at that point, then, therefore, it means tacitly he approved the Kiddushin. And now Tosfos Yeshanim adds, you can't say that it means the case is where he never heard about it yet, because the Loshon Melamdim Oseh Sheyimcha implies that he already heard about it, and now we tell him what to do now that you heard about it. If he never heard about it, then there's no Melamdim Oseh. So in the last case of the Mishnah, then it sounds like it's not enough for him to be quiet. So rather we have to understand in the Sefer it would evidently or maybe in all three cases it would be amanas shel yimcha abba. It would have to be that my father, as long as my father doesn't protest. So only if he actually says no is the kedushin going to be batal. But otherwise, if he says yes or he doesn't say anything at all, then it will be good. The problem with that is that the problem with that works for the Sefer, but the Reisha, you can't say that. What do you mean? The fact is, if he's saying amanas shel yimcha abba, then that's open ended. On the face of it, even if the father agreed at the beginning, he could still disagree later on, and the kedushin will not take effect. Amanas shel yimcha abba would have to mean, in other words, if he says the condition amanas shel yimcha abba, in effect, these kedushin are going to be pending until the father dies, because up until then he could always say I protest and I don't want these kedushin to take effect. After all, he didn't put a time limit on it. So what is the case of the Mishnah? If you're saying the case is he has to say yes, then that wouldn't explain the case where he died. The way we said the condition is valid. If we're saying he has to not say anything at all, then that wouldn't explain the end of the Mishnah, because then there's no reason to be malamed in a sa'av. All he has to do is just not say anything. And if you're saying that the condition was amanas shel yimcha abba, on condition he doesn't protest, well, then that's not going to work with the ratio of the Mishnah.
The middle case sounds like not protesting means yes, and then Lamed, I say yes, say no.
No, Lamed, first of all, is the safer, is the third case. The middle case is where the father died. So we said, Mesa'av, Harez Mokudeshes. So fine, that could be where the condition was either that he's quiet or that he doesn't protest. Fine. But the Sefer, where we're saying Melamden Osei, implies that just being quiet is not enough. It would have to be the condition implied that he doesn't protest. He never says no. Well, so now we tell him, say no, and therefore the condition will be bottled. Yes. The problem is it doesn't work back with the first part of the Mishnah, where we said, Rotza'av, Harez Mokudeshes, implying that as soon as he agrees, then she's Mekodesh. Why? If he says, I'm an Ashtola Yim Chaba, doesn't he always have the opportunity to rescind his permission and say, you know what, I changed my mind, and I say no, and he didn't put a time limit on it.
Reverse neutral.
Right, yeah. So are you going to say, Reisha Bachad Taima, Metziasa V'Seifa Bachad Taima? You're going to tell me that the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about one case, and the second and third cases of the Mishnah are going to be talking about a different case? Which you actually have different girsois among the Rishonim, what exactly the Gemara is asking. There is even an explanation. there is even an otos for Suriyah Zokin bring a possibility. You might end up having to say that each case of the Mishnah is talking about a different scenario. One is talking about where he says, I'm a Nasta, my father says yes. One is talking about I'm a Nasta, he doesn't say anything. And one is talking about I'm a Nasta, he doesn't say no. So therefore, so you might end up with three. But even if you don't say that, even if you have like a girsa in front of us, or a different gear set that we showed him bring, the point is, you seem to be happy. There doesn't seem to be a way to explain our Mishnah as all talking about one understanding to begin with of his Tanai. So are we going to do that? So Rabbi Yannai Ein. So Rabbi Yannai says, as a matter of fact, yes, we're going to have to understand the Mishnah that way. So you have at least two different ways. You're going to have at the very least, the Reisha is going to be talking about the condition was that my father will be quiet. So therefore, if the father says yes, then good. If he dies without saying anything, also good, because he didn't say no. The condition was as long as he doesn't protest, as long as he doesn't say no. And the safer, the second and the third case would have to be shelo yimcha, and therefore like that. And again, you have the different gersois and the different explanations exactly how to shtel an ayin. But the point is, you're right, says Rabbi Yana. There's no way to shtel ayin on Mishnah that you're talking about all in one scenario. Omer Shlokish. So the Shlokish says you can learn something from this. Shmamin of the Rabbi Yannai. You can learn from what Rabbi Yannai is saying. Dachkinen umokminen masnissen betray time. We'll go to the doichak of saying that a single Mishnah is talking about two different scenarios. And at least though you're able to say that's all according to one Tana, rather than having to say that a Stam Mishnah, that part of it is according to one Tana and the other one is according to another one of a Chad Taima, and it's all another, and it's all the other scenario, and it's all the one scenario, better not to have to say that. Now, Tosfos Yeshanim points out, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rish Lakish on this. You have a Mishnah in Bava Metzia in Perek HaMafkid, where you have on the face of it, the Reisha and the Sefer seem to contradict each other. And Rabbi Yochanan says, if anybody can find a way to make this Mishnah work according to one Tana, I'll consider him my Rebbe. I'll even carry his clothes behind him to the bathhouse. In other words, I'll serve him as a Talmud would serve his Rebbe. Now, it would be much more straightforward to say that the Gemara discusses over there that maybe you could say the Mishnah is in fact talking about two different scenarios, and Rabbi Yochanan doesn't like that. He wants to be able to say that the Mishnah is all talking about one scenario, and if you can't do that, he would rather have to say, okay, I have no choice, I have to say part of the Mishnah is according to one Tana and part according to another. Rish Lakish is disagreeing with that, says Tosfos Yeshanim, and he says it would like Rabbi Yannai is saying, better to say that our Mishnah is all according to one Tana and have to say that each part of it is talking according to a different, is talking in a different scenario, whether he said, I'm an Ashi, that my father will say yes, or that he'll say no, or that he'll be quiet, rather than having to say that it's according to different Tana. Okay. So all of that is one way of explaining the Mishnah, that yes, we're talking about different scenarios. We're in different cases, he says, on condition my father won't be moicha, or that he will say yes, etc. Within that, by the way, you have the poskim discuss. For example, if he said yes, does he have the ability to change his mind afterwards, or vice versa? The Rama brings from earlier poskim that once the father said yes, he doesn't have the ability to change his mind anymore. On the other hand, if he said no, then he still has the ability to change his mind and allow the condition to take effect. Okay. Now, another answer. Rav Yosef Ba'ami says, actually, you can make the whole Mishnah work in one scenario. Because you could say, what does the Mishnah mean when it says amanas that my father agrees? It just means amanas shelo yimcha abba mikan vad shloshim yom. It means he's putting a time limit on it. That he's saying, as long as my father doesn't protest within 30 days. So now that allows us to explain all the Mishnah, the entire Mishnah, very neatly. So rotza av means, doesn't mean the father ever has to say yes. As long as within the 30 days, he didn't say no, then good. Loy rotza would be that he did say within 30 days, no. Mesa av, if the father dies within 30 days, mekudeshes, because there's nobody to be moicha at this point, he wasn't moicha yet. He's not going to be moicha after this because he's dead. So therefore, we're good.
Yeah, wait, sir.
You don't have to wait the 30 days because he's dead. There's no possibility of anybody yet. And if the son dies within 30 days, then given that the father would have had till the end of the 30 days to say yes or no, then we tell him say no, and that way the kedushin won't have been chal l'mafreya, and that way your future daughter-in-law won't require chalitza or yibum.
Oh, so you have to say yes or no.
So you have to say, right. So that's the right. Tosfos Yeshanim said before, we have to be talking about that he knew to begin with, because otherwise the word melamdin is not really shayach. But yeah, it's true, according to that. If he never knew during those 30 days, then fine, that would also work, as long as by the end of the 30 days he didn't say no, then we're good. So that's what Rabbi Yosef Bar Ami is saying. Rather than having to say that the Mishnah is talking about different scenarios, you can say the Mishnah is all talking about one scenario where he says, as long as he doesn't protest, but he adds a time limit. So now that makes everything work nicely.
That's a good lot of good thing.
Yeah. So that's a better way of doing it. That way we have the Mishnah can all work according to one Tana and yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, a man says, Kidashti es biti, I accepted Kiddushin on behalf of my daughter, who's a Tana or a Naira, the eni yadeh lami kidashtiya, but I don't know who I was Makadosh to. I don't remember the Chosin's name.
Over 40 years old, yeah.
Yeah. A man comes and says, I'm the one who is Makadisher. Neman, then we believe her. To we believe him. To what extent do we believe him? We're going to see in the Gemara that we're going to have a machlokas of Rab and Rabasi.
As long as it's only one guy.
Wait, right. Ze oima ani kidashtia, ze oima ani kidashtia. What if two people each claim that they were Makadisher? Shneim noisnim get. Both of them are going to have to give her a get if she wants to marry somebody else. If they want, one of them can give her a get, and the other one, of course, provided he's not a koyan or whatever, can marry her.
When is the third guy really?
And what if it happens? So that's what we have to figure out in the Gemara. When we say they're nemonim, to what extent are we believing them? So Omar Rab, nemon litin get ve'in nemon lichnois. It means we believe him as far as that to give her a get, and now she'll be mutter to marry other people. The ein neman lichnos, but we don't believe him, says Rab, that if he wants to marry them. And the idea is, neman litin get, ein onam choyte v'loy loy, because a person is not going to do an avera where it's not going to benefit him. So, in other words, why would he falsely claim to be her chosin if the only result of that is going to be that he's going to have to give her a get? It's not like he's going to be able to marry her as a result of that. So therefore, we can assume he's telling the truth. So he feels bad for her. In other words, he's saying, you know, I was Makadosher, but now, fine, I've given up on it. I don't want her to be stuck. So therefore, Rab is going to say, ain't a Neman.
What do you need a Neman for him to get together?
The point is, Neman, that if he gives her a get, she's now mutter to marry others. We don't say maybe he was Stam a guy
who came.
Relax. That's what we mean. Rab says the Neman of our Mishnah means that if he gives her a get, it means that we accept that is a valid get, and she's now mutter to marry somebody else. We don't allow him to marry her because we're going to say maybe his yetzer hara is getting the better of him. He's going to say to himself, yes, I know she's an Eishes Ish. I'm not the one who was Makadosher. I don't care. I want so badly to marry her that I'm willing to be over an Aveda to do it. So therefore, we can't accept what he says. So therefore, Rab says, when he comes and says, I'm the one who was Makadosher, we can't believe him to the extent of actually marrying her. What if it wasn't him? But we can believe him to the extent where if he gives her a get, there we say, he's not going to do an Aveda where it's only going to benefit somebody else and not himself. So therefore, we can assume that there he's telling the truth. He's not gaining anything from it anyway, and therefore he can give her a get, and will accept that's valid, and now she can marry somebody else. That's a point of Rab. Rab Asi disagrees with Rab and says, "Af nemon lichnois." No, we will even allow him to marry the girl. Because Rashi says he wouldn't be so chutzpahdik to say in front of the father, I'm the one, because what if the father contradicts him? Now, the father says, I don't know who it was. All that means is, in other words, he can't remember, but if he sees this guy in front of him, he may realize, you know what, I know it, well, I'm not sure who it was, but I know it wasn't you.
Yeah,
so therefore,
black, but not one,
whatever. So therefore, so
so therefore,
Abasi says we would actually believe this guy who comes, this claimant, to actually marry her. We're not worried that maybe Yitzray Turkfoy,
exactly. It's a father's problem, doesn't it?
Maybe on the one hand, Yitzray Turkfoy, it's true, but on the other hand, he would be afraid to lie in front of the father because the father might show him up as a liar, and therefore, Abasi says you can accept that what he's telling is the truth. And by the way, actually, the Ran points out, now what happened, don't you need two Edim? But the two Edim is when she had a chazaka beforehand of something, and now you want to take her out of that chazaka, you need two Edim. Here, there is already a chazaka that she's Mekudeshes, because the father says that she's Mekudeshes, and he has the Nemonis to do that. So therefore, the Kedushin originally had to have been done in front of witnesses, but let's say the witnesses aren't available now.
The point, just half drunk, but
whatever. The point is that here we're not trying to change the chazaka. Here all we're trying to do is to say we already have a chazaka that she's Mekudeshes. We just have to establish who it is, and therefore Abasi says this guy by himself saying would be good enough. The same way as if the father hadn't forgotten. The same way as if the father himself said, "I was Makadosh or Deplaini," we would accept what he says. So this would be the same thing. Okay. However, the Gemara continues. Rab Asi does agree if she herself says, "I was Makudosh, but I don't know who I was Makudosh to," and one person comes and says, "I was Makadosh," or Rab Asi agrees in that case, she'en nemon lichnos, we're not going to believe him to marry her for reasons that we're going to explain further down on the Amud.
So she can't.
So there's a difference. So there's a difference between whether the father says I was Makadosh my daughter versus whether she herself says I accepted Kedushin on behalf of myself.
Same reason. Maybe it's very.
So we're going to see soon in the Gemara why Rab Asi would make that distinction. So the Gemara says Tanam. Let's look at our Mishnah. We said in our Mishnah. Rotsu, if they want, we said when there are two claimants, if they want echad noisim get ve'echad konis, one of them can give her a get and the other one can marry her. So how does that fit with what Rav says? It's you up to Rav. Wouldn't that be a contradiction on Rav? Where Rav says with one claimant, we don't allow him to marry her. Why would Rav say any different with two claimants? So that our Mishnah seems to contradict Rav. The answer is Omalach Rav, shiny hossam. It's different in the case of our Mishnah, given to Ika Acher Bahadeh, because there's another claimant coming with him, Irtose Mirtas, therefore he has more fear because now there's a bigger chance that the father is going to say, you know what, I do remember after all, there's the two of you standing over here, now that it's the two of you, I remember actually it was him, it was not you, and therefore he's going to be shown up as a liar. So in the case where it's only one, the father might remember, he might not. Rav Asi is saying that we have to be, he'll figure the father will remember and therefore he's afraid to lie. Rav doesn't hold of that. But when you have two people over there, it's much more likely that the father is going to say, fine, I'm not sure whether it was him, but I know for sure it wasn't you. You have two of me and two of you in front of me is very clear. Or Fakert, he might recognize rather actually what Rashi says. He might recognize, you know what, it was you after all. Now that I see you in front of me again, I recognize you, and it was you, and therefore you're a liar. So therefore, he's going to be afraid to try anything like that. Okay. So the Gemara says Tanya Kavasei de Rav Asi. We learn a brisa like the way Rav Asi learns. A brisa says if the man says the father says Kidashti es biti ve'ini adel mi kidashtiya, I accepted kedushin on behalf of my daughter. And the enya deil mikidashtia, and I don't know who I was makadosher to. Vachad va'amakidashtia, and one person comes and says I was makadosher. Af nemun lichnos, then we do believe him even to marry her. So that's like Rav Asi, not like Rav. Konsa, what happens if he did marry her? Va'achad va'amakidashtia, and somebody else comes and says actually I'm the one who was makadosher. Loi kol hemenu la oisra olav. We don't believe him to. to ask this woman to her husband, because he came, if he had come at the time, then maybe we would have to pay attention to what he's saying. Like you have the case of Mishnah with the two people, but because he only came afterwards, then therefore we don't, she's already married to him, and we don't pay any attention to what he's saying.
It's only Kedushin, but not, hey, this one has Kedushin and Ages.
Yes, Kedushin and Nisuin, fine, but the fact is, you know, evidently there's no Edom available. Obviously, if the Edom are available, we'd ask them what's going on over here, but if the Edom aren't available, then we have to go based on what each of them is.
Even if the Edom are available, he's already married to the other guy.
If
it's a done deal.
The fact is, if Edom were to come, if two Edom were to come and say that actually it wasn't you or Makadisher, but rather somebody else, we would force them to get divorced. Two Edom are the gold standard of evidence in halacha, you know. So yeah. Continues the Braisa, Ha'isha she'omer niskadashti. Now, on the other hand, if the woman herself says, I received Kedushin, ve'eni adas l'min niskadashti, but I don't know who it was that I received Kedushin from, uva echad v'oma, ani kedashtia, and somebody comes and says, I was Mekadosher, ein nemen lichnos, then we don't believe him to marry her, mepnei she'i mechapa olav, because she's going to try to cover up for him. She's going to figure to herself that look, otherwise I'm going to be stuck. So therefore, in other words, I'm willing to marry her, whether in fact he was the one who was Makadosh me or not. So therefore, we have to be concerned that she herself may be supporting him in his lie, because she figures otherwise, I don't know who it is and I'm stuck yet. Now you have a machlokas rishonim on that. So what happens if he does divorce her? What happens? We said both according to Rav and Rav Asi, we do believe him to give her a get. Would he be allowed to marry her after that? So the Rambam holds that no, because what if he's giving her the get only in order to game the system and now be able to marry her? On the other hand, the Rashba holds that look, once he gave her a get, she's mutter to everybody, so yes, she'd be mutter to him. So according to the Rashba, we're not concerned about that possibility of gaming the system, it seems. By the way, I mean, you want to talk about, you know, when you're saying kidashti ve'eni adas l'mi kidashti, or the other way around, where she herself said miskadashti ve'eni adas l'mi. I'll tell you, for example, there's a case that's mentioned in one of the Truvas of in one or more of the Truvas of Moshe Feinstein, where one time there was a school they were having a Purim carnival, and they had like a mock wedding booth. They had like a, you know, they're going to have the boys are going to go over there and give, you know, plastic rings to the girls and say how they act in the Kodeshes, and it became a real question: are these valid tradition or not? If they are, conceivably, you could very well have a girl who says, you know, I know somebody said Hariat Mekudeshes to me, but I'm not sure which one was the first one who said it.
No, there's no issue.
But a boy can't be Mekadosh at 9. He can only do Yibum at 9. But what if the boys are already 13 and the girls are 12? So you have it. Moshe deals with this in a couple of his Truvas. Whether it actually happened in real life, I don't know. I think so. I think most, if not all of his Truvas are based on real life situations. But yeah.
But if you say this whole thing was a game,
that's the question. Was it, how much of it is a game and how much of it is, there is, after all, Das over here. So was there any intention? Whatever. It's a complicated case. Moshe deals with it at length. But there you have a real live example where somebody can say, Skadashti, Mania Das, to me. I don't know which of the boys who were at that carnival was the one. Yeah. Continues the Gemara. Iboyelahu. So now we have the question. We're saying that if one person comes and says Ani kidashtia, then nem, on the Mishnah had said. So according to Rav nem and litin get, and according to Rav Asi, even nem and lichnus. What about mau liskol al yodai? What about, can we suppose now that she's mezana with somebody else? The question is not so much the case of on Mishnah. The case is, the question is like this. We know the father has the ability to say that I was Makadosh my daughter. And that makes her, now she has the chazaka of an Eishes Ish. Is that enough also to give her skila on that, even though we don't have Edim available right now? If we had Edim, that she was Makadosh, obviously. But because we don't have the Edim, we only have the father's say-so that he was Makadosher. Is that enough now where if she's Mazana, she would be Chai of skila?
Believe the father to make give a condition that we should believe.
Well, that's the question. Rav Oma Ein Soiklin, Rav Asi Oma Soiklin. Here we have the same two Amiroyim, where Rav says we don't give her skila, Rav Asi says we do. Rav Oma Ein Soiklin, Rav says we're not going to give her skila, because ki heim nerachman la'av, you know when the father believes that, we know when the Torah believes the father, where we know the Torah believes him, because the Pasuk says, it's biti nosati le'ishazeh. You have in the case of Motzi Shemra, where the And the father comes to Beis, the parents come to Beis Din, and the father says, "As biti nasati l'ishazeh, I gave my daughter in marriage to this man," and then and now he's coming up with a story against her. So we see from that that the father has a nemonus to say that he accepted kedushin on behalf of his daughter. But only, so Rav says, only l'isura, only as far as the fact that she's osu to anybody else. L'ktola lo'heimne, the pasuk doesn't necessarily believe him as far as to the extent that she should be chayav misa. Now,
are there witnesses no. that she?
If there were witnesses that she was the Scottish, there's nothing to talk about. Yeah. We're talking about there's no witnesses. The mazana there have to be that there have to be right. But the question is, was she a penuria or an ashes ish? Now Tosfos points out, obviously, you know, further on in that parasha, we're talking about motzi shemra, where the husband claims that she was mazana during the time of the erusin, and if it turns out it's true, then the pasuk says we give her skila. So, but wouldn't that be then that we're talking about? It's all based on the father saying as biti nasati leishazeh. Tosfos says no. We're actually talking about two different scenarios. We're talking about where there are edim of her kedushin then, and now the husband is coming and saying during the time after the kedushin she was mizana, then she's going to be chayav misa. Not necessarily. Rav is saying if the whole fact that she was mekudesh is based only on the father's say so as biti nasati l'ishazeh, that wouldn't lead us to a chiyuv misa for her. There are edim that she was mizana, of course, but we don't know whether that was znus or whether she was still a pnuya, because we only have the father's say so to say that she was mekudesh.
And the father did without witnesses.
And the father, if the kedushin was done without witnesses, it wouldn't be valid. We're talking about there were witnesses, but they're gone. They went to Medina Sayyam or they died or whatever, and we have no proof. So Rav says that. Rav Asi, almost Soklin, Rav Asi says you would give her skila. L'chula milsehem nerachman alav. The Torah believes the father across the board, including even as far as Misa.
You only want to kill your daughter for no reason.
Amar Rav Asi, umoydina. However, Rav Asi says, I would agree, but imeres niskadashni, if she herself says, I was Makurdish, she'en Soklin, we're not going to give her skila on the basis of that. She says, I was Makurdish to Reuven. Later on, she goes in as Mazana with Shimon. And then Rav Asi says, I would agree she's not chayav misa in that case.
So clean is...
Again, she said...
So clean means to give skill.
Again, she says...
Why do you think of skill?
Because if she was mizana, then depending on the scenario, you have different cases where an HS ish is going to be chayav skila, srefa, or chenet. Three out of the four Mrs. Bastin can apply to an HS ish. Skila if she was a naira amarosa, srefa if she's a bas koyan, and there's different opinions in the Gemara and Sanhedrin exactly in what case, and chenek if she's a regular run-of-the-mill HS ish.
Anyway, maybe she was. She didn't understand what's going on.
If she didn't understand, then she's a shoita. That's something else. We're talking about she's a bas das. Anyway, the point
again, she says it's dashti.
So the difference is, in other words, Rav Asi is saying when the father says, "I received kedushin on behalf of my daughter," Rav Asi says that's enough evidence to even make her chayav misa if she afterwards mizan. But you can have, for example, Rishonim discuss, you can have either, for example, where the father says, I was Makadosh to Reuven and now she was Mizana with Shimon. You could even have the father, like in the Mishnah, where the father says, I don't know who it was, but let's say, for example, you have somebody who was not Shayach to Kedushin at all at the time. What if you have somebody who at the time was a Goy and later on became a Ger and was Mizana with her? So now, obviously, he's not the one who was Makadosh, because even if the father doesn't know, it obviously was only somebody who was Shayach to it at the time. So you could even have that scenario. Whatever the case, Rav Asi is saying that's enough to give her skila. However, Rav Asi is saying there's a difference whether he says, I accepted kedushin on behalf of my daughter, versus where she herself says, I myself received my own kedushin. Rav Asi is saying, I agree in that case. She says, I received my own kedushin from Reuven, and now she was mizana with Shimon. Or she says, I received my kedushin, and I'm not sure who it was from. And later on, she's mizana with somebody who became a ger afterwards or whatever. Then Rav Asi says, I agree she won't get Mrs. Basin for that.
Rav Asi,
Rav Asi says, these things that I myself am saying, they break the roofs. Merapsan means to break. Igri means the roofs. In other words, they're very, on the face of it, they're very hard to understand. People hear what I'm saying, these two dinim that I said, that in the Mishnah, we're saying that we believe the claimant to marry her, and now I'm saying that, but only if the father said that he accepted kedushin, not if the daughter herself says that I accepted kedushin. And now you're saying, on the other hand, you can give her skila based on what her father says, but not based on what she says. On the face of it, it's like it breaks the roofs. It's very difficult to understand. You have to think, wouldn't it be logical where he wants to marry her? You're saying he's allowed to marry her because that was Rav Asi's first din. Amrit Soiklim, and you're saying that we would give her skila. if she's mezana with somebody else, mokim shein bal lichnas in koinus, in the case where she herself says, I received my kedushin, and we don't believe him to marry her, because we said she might be covering up for him, she might be falsely claiming she's married to him when really not, ain't a din shesoklin, shouldn't it be a kabachomer that we should give her skila in that case as well? But v'loihi, but actually it's not so. Rav Asi explains, I'll explain the logical difference. La'av heimne rachmana, the Torah believes the father, l'dido la'heimna. The fact is, the Torah never says that a woman herself is believed to say, I received kedushin. So the father, you have a gzeres akosir, that it says, is biti nasati le'isha zeh, and therefore that's talking about a ktana or a naira, actually. That in the context there, the pasuk is talking about a naira, but yeah, the same thing would apply to a ktana. The only can't apply to a ktana only because there's no Mrs. Bastin involved, but so therefore it has to apply to a naira. But yeah, the concept that he can accept kedushin on behalf of his daughter, and that we believe him to say that he did, even though we have no edim, is based on that pasuk. We never find such a pasuk for her. When she herself says, I received kedushin,
how old is she then?
We're talking about, let's say she's a begeris already, fine. But we never find that the Torah says we would believe her without aiding. So therefore, Rav Asi is saying, that's the logic, therefore. So she herself is saying, I was Mekodesh. So you can't give her skila based on that, because ultimately it's still a suffix whether what she's saying is truth. So she can answer herself, she can say, Shavya nafshe chaticha de isura. She's made herself, in effect, also to everybody else by saying, I received kedushin. That'll make her off limits to everybody else. And we won't even believe when one person comes and tells her and says, I was Makadashi, because we're saying Shema Techapa, she might be covering up for him. But to go to the extent of saying that she should be Chayav Misa for that, that we can't do without some kind of evidence outside of what she's saying that she is Makodesh. So therefore, Rav Asi is saying, even though you would think what I'm saying is very hard to understand, but actually, if you think of the logic behind it, it's very easy to understand.
Because
the Torah, not so much because she doesn't get, well, it's true, a person can't make pain on a mace from Atmerosha, but that's something else. Here she's not saying, I was Mizana. There are Edim that she was Mizana. Ah. She's saying, I was Mekudesh, which would, the result of that would be that the Znus is considered Znus. But Rav Asi is saying, still, the Torah doesn't give her Nemonus about that. So therefore, that's why she can't get skila. Here also, by the way, Reb Levi Yitzchak has a longer explanation going in some detail into the deeper meaning behind what's going on over here with Rav's and Rav Asi's explanations. And Rav, the woman, as usual, represents Malchus. Rav represents Zah. Rav Asi represents represents Chochma. Eini Yadas implies that you have a concealment of Chochma, and then you have the whole scenario over there unfolds in terms of the Sfiris, in terms of to what extent do we allow Zoh and Malchus to get together and whatnot, maybe only to the extent of Gvura that he can give her a get, maybe even like Rav Asi says, Lichna is to actually accomplish the Yichud Zoh, the Yichud of Zoh and Nukva that needs to be accomplished. As a matter of Rav Asi represents Chesed, he says over there, and therefore then he goes into a whole Arichus over there explaining the whole Gemara over here, line by line, and how it all fits with this. And he explains also this business, why does Rav Asi use this unusual expression, Medach San Igri, and he explains because the roof also represents Zoh, and it represents Zoh that sort of protects over, that, like a covering over Malchus. Malchus represents the house, Zoh represents the roof over it, and so on, and therefore there's like breaking through the roof, and then he has an interesting arichus about it.
Who is Zoh and who is Malchus?
So in this scenario, the woman is Malchus, the man who's coming and saying, I was Makadosh.
But what about Rav? Rav is...
So then he explains that Rav particularly represents, Rav himself represents Zoh among the spheres. Rav Asi particularly represents Chesed. And then who
represents Malchus?
What? Actually, he says Rechista, which we're going to have tomorrow, represents Chesed. Malchus is the woman. Malchus is the woman herself. Woman herself that we're talking about. Yeah, different. I'm saying he has a whole arichos over there. You have to learn it inside really to get the full
where
flavor.
Where do you see this?
Because he says he explains the whole thing of our Gemara. Why does Rav say we believe her only to receive a get, but not to get married? Is because all you can have, the maximum you can do, is bring Gvura into Malchus, which is represented by the get, but not to bring Chesed into Malchus. Whereas Rav Asi, who represents Chochma, says that you can even bring Chesed, that you can even bring Zoh into Malchus over here, you can even bring Chesed in over here and be able to get married.
Please.